So now we're on the second half of this tape, and we're talking about this fire at Houdon's,
yeah,
huh?
Houdon's house, yeah.
And it was pouring rain that night.
Pouring rain, yeah. And I remember Ollie Krieger.
Yeah, he opened the front door,
and about a foot of water came.
Yeah, it poured right out the front. Yeah. We had water, see, and Les set up, and I set up the pumper down at the old Dodge pumper down back of the telephone office. And then he, of course, chief, so he went up the street, and I was watching the pressure, because when they closed the nozzle up there, I had to watch it so we didn't pop something. And then this old Dodge had spark plugs on the top of the cylinder heads, you know. And we'd cover the hood with a raincoat, but in the rain, we always had trouble with that thing, see. So it ran along for a while, and it was starting to sputter. And I thought, oh boy, she's going to quit, and you can't prime it alone. You know, it took two men to prime that truck, see. And finally, Armand Thillen come by, and then she quit. And then I told Armand, you go in there and you do this and you do that, and she'd start again, but we'd lost the prime. So then we went in there and he primed it again, so we got it going, or I primed it and he got it going, and you had to be quick with that, baby.
You know, that was the last large fire we had in Teresa.
I think it was, yeah.
We haven't had a large fire like that since then.
Well, yeah, you know, there was a set of closets in there in the middle of that place.
Yeah.
None of us had ever been in that house or that building, and they had closets in the center, and it kind of prevented the water from getting from one side to the other, see?
Yeah.
We poured it into there, and we got it out. It was about 2 feet in the basement, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I have some. So, well, it didn't burn down.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd been better if we let it go, you know.
Well, the whole inside was pretty well.
A pro straw.
This 16th of April, the remains of Alfred Brodhagen arrived at 6:15 a.m. He was killed in Germany.
That's right.
The 27th, I mean... 1949. It's very quiet outside. No Greyhound buses. They are on strike. The 16th of May, Les and Frederick are opening up Kecker's sewer, the fire engine. Never get it.
Yeah, he always had.
He always had trouble there.
Yeah,
24th of May, Arnold Weber's golden wedding. The band played in the basement.
Yeah, I got pictures of that. Yeah, Arnold, he had champagne even.
Yeah.
Remember, he passed out champagne.
The way he planned it out, months before that, he was planning what to do.
Oh, yeah, he had it all figured out.
But he didn't expect the band to come, I don't know.
I don't think so. I think they surprised him. They marched in there and started to play in the driveway there.
On the 6th of June, me and my dad and Willie Hahn went to the Ruplinger and bought 6 lots for the cemetery for $150. I remember you bought them after. Well, yeah.
Oh, that was on the south end there. South end of the cemetery.
Didn't need there. You bought after.
Well, those were those 20-foot lots, 22-foot lots up there in that subdivision, whatever that's called now.
In 49, the 8th of June, Schuster is putting and fixing the wall down with the funeral home there and built the boathouse
head
down there. The 9th of June, a pea dusting plane crashed by Ronnie Furks' yard and burned. Remember, he was dusting peas.
I was up there,
We had a good picture of that day.
Yeah.
Was Jimmy take picture or who took picture?
I got the picture, I think. I didn't, because I was on the picture. I really don't know who took that one. I think I'm on the picture. You know, Ollie Krieger and I had the truck there. And
13th of July.
Maybe Jimmy got it, yeah.
Ted Ruthie bought the bakery from Garrett Straker for $5,500.
Yeah.
On the 20th of July, the German band gave a concert in Iron Ridge. And the 11th of August, the bus strike is over. There had been no buses since April 27th.
Yeah.
And all summer long, there were no buses. August the 14th, 1949, a fireman's picnic. They sold 9 barrels of beer, 33 gallons of ice cream, 180 pounds of hamburger, and 46 cases of soda.
Big picnic.
The 16th of September 1949, sold our first television set to Ruben Lau. He's the first one that bought
a TV. One of those round ones?
Yeah, one round screen, yeah. The 26th of October, William Mark opened the law office above the bank. Remember that?
I remember the bank there.
28th of November, he had a sportsman meeting in the village hall, and he had raccoon lunch. Now, the Christian boys out there used to catch a lot of coons, and he'd take it down to Frances Krieger, and she would make the coon lunch, and then we'd serve at the sportsman meeting.
I don't think I read the coon lunch. They had baby moose or something there one time.
Yeah. 29th of December, Art Walder died. He had 109 blood transfusions.
Yeah.
109 blood transfusions. I'll take the other book, I guess. Book here.
Is that the book your ma had it in, that's what you
read? No, it's an old copy. She had all individual books that she got from Arnold Weber.
Oh, yeah.
He always got those reminder books really about that big.
Yeah.
And after a while, when Arnold was there, she got some from Kroner, too.
What's it say on top there?
Yeah. Oh, I just got notes in front here. 1924, the first radio in Teresa, William Koch. First radio in Teresa. And the only time you could hit the World Crier was on at 4 p.m. They called it the World Crier. Was it WGM or WLS or something like that? The World Crier. 1926, Fred Beck and Joe Miller sold Atwater Kent radios. The antenna had to be up at 3 p.m. for the first program. There was nothing on there until 3 o'clock. But now it is 1950. Oh, let's see. The fire, 15th of January, the fire at Iron Ridge, the village hall burned down. I don't know why I got that in there. Romy Zimmel died at Zimmel Implement.
Yeah.
That was the 1st of March. On the 8th of March, the Dodge County Police shot 18 dogs out by Zimmers. Eight more ran away. And they were almost starved. Remember that someone complained?
I remember that.
Almost starved out there. Then the 15th of March was the fire out by Arnold Krieger. The basement was badly burned out.
Yeah, he had a varnish or something here.
Here, the 16th of March, 1950, the 9th and 10th grades were dropped at the public school. That's when he ordered to drop them. Now the 28th of March, Ed Kuip and Alvin Christian committed suicide, and all in one day. Remember, first we got the Ed Kuip, he was out here in Lover's Lane there, he drank acid.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he drank carbolic acid.
And then the afternoon, he found Alvin Christian hanging in the barn. Two young men, both one afternoon.
It was in May, too, in spring, huh?
Yeah. Now here, the 1950, April 10th. Les got a head of lettuce from Adolf Lightly. Seed. Still planting the same today. Now, the 1950, that seed that...
Yeah, we still got the seed, we took it down to Florida, and it's down there.
43 years, it's been good.
And the seed is down there in Florida, and we got lots of it this time.
April 21st. Bowling is over. The Beck Furniture was in third place. The members were Fred Bandel, G.D. Seyfeld, Dr. Beagle, Ed Hepburn, Ted Lamers, and Father Skalitsky, and myself. That was a good, nice team, man. I remember like Father Skalitsky, he was Catholic, you know.
Yeah.
But he didn't make any difference. He says, I don't care what religion you are, whatever your church belonged to, go to that church.
That's
he says,
right.
Go. June 24th, 1950, Suze Astro sold her restaurant and tavern to Ray Herman of West Bend.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
That didn't last long, did it?
They had a couple of blonde girls, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
There were waitresses there.
West Bend, yeah. And the 26th of June, Dr. Beagle started to build his new house. And Johnny Johnson and Tom Smith are also building the same year. 4th of August, a semi-truck run into the big John Beck filling station. Remember, he...
Yeah, tore the top off the canopy.
Top, yeah. Two or 12 schools are closing in Campolio. Then my dad and we, they bought our cottage up at Eagle River in 1950. We had 200 feet frontage in a cottage for $4,800.
How much was?
$4,800.
How much is that worth today?
Oh, $50,000, $60,000 at least. That's just the land. I mean.
Yeah.
And then the December 9th, Les made a large star for the window. I'm still using that star now. I got it up there today. In 1951, the 23rd of March, a new fire truck arrived in town. They were bought for $12,000. Now, what, 51, that was...
That was at International.
International.
Town, I'm sure it was. Yeah, that was the 51.
11th of April, at President Truman fired General MacArthur.
Telephone, Ralph.
The 12th, Louis Beck bought a Shell Lake boat up for the cottage. Mm-hmm. 27th, Loretta Steger won first prize in pickle peeling contest on WTMJ TV program. I remember that, yeah. 19th. He said, tree trimmers removed the large tree in front of Bert Weber's house. Hmm. That's the last tree that was on Main Street.
Main Street, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the last tree on Main Street, that was 1951, that was cut down. The 11th of August, men are working at Fireman's Park, putting down a dance floor for the picnic Sunday.
Oh yeah, we used to nail that thing down. Oh God.
That's how we got
all that lumber, stands built, yeah. We had all that wood.
Now, August the 15th, 1951, the Dodge County Sheriff called Les at 2 p.m. Fire company was fined $50 and cost $56 for playing dardo at picnic. Les had to plead guilty before the justice of the peace. Doc Beagle sent the check. Now, I remember I was went over there, and then the justice of the peace, he's a barber in a barber shop, see? And it was about three or four guys ahead of him. But he says, I can't take it until these guys were here first. He says, so I had to wait about 2 hours until they had the haircuts all done. Then he took me in the back room. And I had to pay the $56. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I ain't got the money with me. Well, he says, you're supposed to pay it. No, I said, we'll send you a check. Don't go. And I don't, did he call Doc Beale or something like that? I mean, to make sure they would get the check.
Just think they should be living today. Traveling.
Yeah. But we were warned before this,
yeah.
A couple of days before the picnic, someone said that they're going to report us if we play bingo. See. Now, what he could have done, he could have come around 5 o'clock when I had a good afternoon.
Yeah, and they waited till afterwards. Yeah. They let it run through. Yeah. So they don't give a damn either.
28th of August, Arnold Weber sold his insurance business to Frank Kroner. Mm-hmm. And then on the September 19th, Arnold Weber died, age 76. Hmm. Now, that's less than a month after that Arnold died, after he sold it, huh?
Yeah, I remember I went over with Greg, and I think he had heart trouble. We took an oxygen tank upstairs, Arnold didn't look good at all.
In 1952, the 8th of January, Les and Armin Zimmel went to Erhard-Loon to see about land for the disposal plant. Erhard-Loon.
The
old
Krieger's ice house.
And we had a church meeting on the 16th. The vote was 35-26 against having a parochial school. You know, as soon as we went to Wisconsin Synod, they wanted a parochial school. Fired Eifert's Tavern at the depot.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big one.
We had good luck with that one.
Yeah. 29th of January, Matt Verge bought Gus Friske's garage. That's where Gordy is in, for $12,000.
Apparently, he just sold it, too.
Who sold it?
Gordy. Who hasn't got...
he sold it now?
Well,
sure, Les is having a farewell party for Gordy tonight.
Oh, hey.
That's why we cut it short here, you know.
Who
did he sell it to, you know?
He didn't say. I wish I would have asked. He said Gordy sold his garage and we should come down.
Where are you having that party?
Well, it's a surprise party right in the garage, Les.
In the garage? Oh, I didn't know about that.
fellow that I called, I suppose, you know, you can just call so many.
Well, this is 92, so that's 40 years, huh?
42 years later. It's my Matt Potter, you know. Then February 2nd, Gussie Loon died.
Yeah.
Age 42, remember that first?
Yeah, he had that accident down at 83.
Irvin Schmidt is drilling a well by the furniture. Good water at 100 feet. Well, that's right behind the thing there. Now, are they making them close all them wells?
I don't know. Well, Russ tested his and it came out all right, so we're used to using it. So.
Stores will be open Saturday evening instead of Friday evenings. It's 1952. They had Saturday evening stores were open. German band played for the Memorial Day Parade. Here, the 8th of June, 1950, the Legion and the firemen had a picnic and parade together. On the 30th, Jerry Lightly died after an accident. He's aged 29.
Emlyn's accident, 52. Yeah.
So that's 40 years ago now.
Yeah.
Quartet sang at William Rimmel's school in Whitting. I remember that he went out there. On the back porch. German band surprised Ed Hepner on his 25th wedding anniversary. Then Frank Kroner died December 3rd, age 61. Now he bought the, from Art of Liberty, he bought the, well, that's later on, he bought the insurance business, I guess.
Yeah, he died. His wife was over here at school. They were having doings, and he must have been well enough to call. He had broke his leg down by Matt Lurkey's garage when he fell off the stepladder, Frank. He was laid up. And then he was laid up, and that night he got a heart attack or something. He could call the...
He called the doctor.
Called the doctor. Johnny had to go over and tell his wife that he died.
Yeah, he called the break, January 4, 1950, a round-trip bus ticket to Fountain Lake is 98 cents. Now that was the green buses.
Green buses, yeah, I think so.
Here's the 18 now. Firemen are making picnic stands from portable dance floor used in the park. Fred Vandal made the jigs. That's 1950.
Yeah, 1950, we were in a lot of
53.
Stuff there. That went off pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah.
53, and they're still using them, so that's another 40 years almost. Yeah.
Was that the portable one? Or was
those
that
green ones.
The green stands we had on that portable dance floor they had. Remember,
we used those boards and we hauled them up to the village hall. Les took the truck, Les and I went up and took the truck and we took it all out of the building and brought it down here to the village hall and we piled it up on the side and then Mike brought up his saw and we sawed the pieces the size.
You had the blueprint how to make them.
Les had built some models there up in the Juno house, upstairs in the Schieffer house, but anyway. We tried some models out, and they worked out pretty good, so then we had them all fixed up.
They really worked good all those years. Just seeing that.
Les Simmel that time, he had a power screwdriver. He brought that up there.
They really put them together. The guys, we'd have a quick meeting, and then we'd start working on the stands. See, I think three meetings we had to build the stands. 72, I think, we built.
1953, then... 30th of January, Jordan Steger quit the village man. Eddie Keel took over. February 12th, Fred A. Bandel sold his interest to the bank. He will retire in 1953. On the 15th to 25th of February, my mother and dad left for Florida with Louis and Marina. That's the only time that they really went on a long trip.
You went to see Gerald in Alabama, and New Orleans?
Yeah, I think so, or something.
Gerald was in the army.
On 3rd of April, Andrew Mitz died. 85 he was.
Pop bought him some flowers yet.
21st of April, the Golden Wedding, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Cole. And the choir gave a party for Andrew Pitcher. He was a choir organist for 49 years.
Yeah.
They're now making their grade for Super Highway 41. Filling the Fire Sister by John Beck from Pumper on the Bridge. That's July 1953. Dr. Langfeld and Dr. Beagle moved into the new office at the Cook store. That's 53 now. That's almost 40 years ago. That
he moved in there, yes.
That Gregory moved in there. Firemen are busy filling cisterns. Everybody's out of water.
It's been a dry year.
Yeah, and deer hunting postponed 1 week to dry up north. And the second of December, Gilbert and Geraldine Miller took over Kicker's Tavern and Dance Hall.
They're all gone already.
Yeah, they're both gone, yeah.
Then the Chamber of Commerce gave away 7 breast turkeys and they had signed tickets and stuff. On the 1st of January 1954, the new Lichtenberg Bridge opened. That's that one on AY. The 21st of January, the Edwardman House burned down. 8 below 0. Lost everything. Herb Arndt collected $1,300 for them. I remember that.
Yeah.
I drove 2 fire trucks out there. That
yeah,
bridge.
I know.
Oh, was it cold?
There was no chance.
See, at that time, I called Mabel yet. Spearing brought one truck over. At that time, we tried to make an agreement with Lyra.
Lyra said
that they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't. They said that's village property and that's got to stay in the village. So they wouldn't say nothing. Mm-hmm.
I was driving the milk truck Thursday. I was going to go up there with the weigh truck. You know, one time they used the weigh even. They wouldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, well, that was in the middle.
16th of February, the Willard Schuster home, near where the old Geiger home was torn down by Baker, where he's going to build his new house. 1st of March, 1954, Teresa Seward digging started on Rock River Street. I remember they started right down there with Dr. Stoy. And he hit the hardest part, I guess, the village.
Hardest, 16 foot deep,
concrete, man. And it was so hard when the shovel come out. The stones had split in half.
They break right off.
He thought, boy, why did I bid here? I mean, the whole division is coming back. He's going to lose. I mean, but after that, it was better. He just happened to hit a hard spot where he started.
But
there.
The stones that big would break off in the wall rather than come out. When the shovel, it would break them in half. He said, that's like digging rock, he said.
14th of March, Rudy Heppner's shoe store had an auction. Store was sold. The 17th of April, the Chamber of Commerce had an Easter egg hunt. They made 300 baskets. Well, at that time, the Chamber of Commerce was fairly active in the county. And then April 28th, had nice last night for bowling, and Father Leo Skalitz invited our bowling team over for lunch. So he'd done that every year. The last night, he says, here. Pitcher had a music recital. Remember those music recitals that Pitcher had there?
At the hall.
Yeah. The 19th May, they were laying sewer line on the Mabel Road. Did they jump all the way from...
No, I think they dug through there.
That was that band concert, the 16th of June band concert started. Even the Knowles band came over to Thress and gave a concert that thing. Remember that old wagon they used to pull out that time? Set the wagon down with a...
I got some pictures of that, too. I got to get them to Jim, too. I thought I could get the print. I didn't even print a picture this year.
Here's the one. The 15th of July, 51, they had the band concert on the bank lawn. I remember they complained, you know, they always had on the same place. They should move them all over. Then they had that on the bank lawn. Mm-hmm. The Shelf River Barn in the neighborhood burned down the 7th of August. Then here they had a band concert album in 1964 that Rudy Hepner and his orchestra are playing next to Langenecker Implement. He actually had a concert too. So. Mm-hmm. In September 9th, they started building the water tower. The men are busy putting up the water tower. Men are painting Thressa on the water tower. And October 20th, the new Highway 41 is open. I think that was just too lame for it to open. It didn't hurt.
I think so.
October 22nd, very quiet in Thressa. Highway 41 is gone. No big trucks. Yeah, it was a really different. No trucks now where they all went over the new highway.
Yeah.
The 14th of 1954, Helen Litke retired from the telephone company. She was an operator for 28 years. But then we come to December 16th, they're laying water mains on the Maple Road. And it's that's the 16th, and that's way over.
Well, there's two crews, you know.
Yeah.
We're in 1955 now?
No, we're in 55 now. February the 7th, the new water tower has been filled with 50,000 gallons. 26th, the ferry Barbara Steger sold her house to John J. Widmer, $7,500. John Beck sold the filling station to Frank Strelo.
Well, that's right, he bought the...
Yeah, he ran it for quite a few years.
Here's the June 7th, 15th, the Legion members are building a bandstand at Fireman's Park. What is that?
Well, that was that low flat one we had there, remember?
Bandstand? Oh, yeah, it was one with the railing around.
Yeah, it was flat and it had a railing on the back and the sides, I guess.
Yeah.
Howard brought a digger up there and we bored some holes in there and set some posts in there. Saw them off.
26th of June, Les took out the lilac bushes on the north side of the funeral home. Fritzy Bandle planted them in the Fireman's Park. Lilac bushes,
they
were.
Yeah, they tore them too.
The 14th of November, Les did not take fire chief again. He has 9 years. Fred H. Bandle was elected.
Yeah.
55.
Yep.
And Ralph and Jake Hale called us, took over the mill business at the station in 56. And then for the 17th, that's when the American Legion was presented with the Civil War flag from Ludwig Wirth.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one we got there, it's in 56. Yeah. Are fixing up the hall they bought from Gerald Miller for $9,000 the Legion paid for the whole of that thing.
Yeah. They put a lot of work in that, didn't they?
And 31st of March, the fire company was called to Brownsville to help fight the fire at the canning factory.
Yeah. See, Claude was down yesterday. He said I should see hello.
Yeah, I saw him at the reunion this. And then I saw him here at about 3-4 weeks ago. We were eating fish over at the pub, and he was there too. You know? Yeah.
I wanted to know how you and the doctor were.
Yeah.
He's going to Florida next week.
I told him, I said that Greg was back in the office again. Oh, he said, wonderful, wonderful.
That's Sitzer.
Claude Sitzer.
He used to be.
I kind of know him by sight. It's
redhead. That's about a 3-horse boat, even road motor for $120. Not much in here anymore. But catching fish and grand opening at the Legion Hall in 56.
September 30th, huh?
Yeah. October 11th, I shot 3 ducks.
Who did?
I did.
Where did you shoot them, Les?
I don't tell you about crowns, I guess. Or balloons, one of the places. November the 8th, 1956, they are moving the remains of Gebert Weber, who died in 1917 and was buried in the cemetery across from the brewery. He was moved to the Union Cemetery. The rough box was covered with soldered tin and was in good shape. Dad buried him and he wanted to be buried facing the brewery. His wife was cremated. Yeah, I still remember when he took that. Milton Resloff, he dug it out, you know, and then Matty Lurkey came up with those records.
Records. You guys put that down in that sewer tunnel and poured concrete in there.
Then he put that on our old Whippet truck we had, our overland truck, you know, and when he put it on there, oh, it went way down there. I thought sure everything was going to bust it. That was, but then they claimed it wasn't water, just one corner was a little bit wet. But the other, the tin held yet. My dad always said that time, yeah, he had to take that wooden box down by Randy Wagner in a hardware store there. And Randy put tin all around it and soldered everything except the top cover, see? And when they buried him, then he put the top cover, and then Randy was there and he soldered the hole before they left it down, see?
Is that right?
Just like a wall, yeah. You know, it was a wooden box with tin around it, yeah. And it was in fairly good shape, yeah.
Yeah, we used to go over once in a while. We'd come in over to go to it. Had a piece of cement flower box there.
Yeah, we used to.
In 1956, they remodeled St. Peter's Church with new walls, ceiling, and paneling. That's when they took that round window out. Remember
Les Hersey. Les Hersey and Uzzy Reimer.
1956, that one. Hoham Church burned down at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, remember that, baby. We come over Hannah's Hill and you could see the fire. There was no chance.
The William Sell Farm burned down in 1957, too.
Mm-hmm. You never found out who started that.
No, some kids were in there.
On the 3rd of April, 1957, Thresher voted against daylight saving time, 93 to 100.
What did they vote against?
Against daylight saving time.
Oh.
That's just what they voted here. I think it went. They voted for the whole state. It went over. I think so. But, I mean, it's just local. I think that's it.
That's about it.
That's about it. Yeah, that's about it.
58
He's probably 50. The only one in Tulsa that ever kept
a dairy like that.
Yeah. Yeah, she always had that up in the attic, and every spring we'd go up in the attic, we'd clean the attic, and she'd say, I'll take these down there and burn them up now. I'll leave them up there. Burn, just discard them. You always put them there, discard them.
When would she do that, at night or in the morning? Huh? Or when did she write it?
It was always laying on the top of the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Oh. So whenever I wrote a lot of stuff in it, too. I mean, some of that stuff I wrote in, too. Anybody knew anything what happened that day, we'd take the book down.
Right in.
And it had the temperature on top, high and the low. It was cloudy.
Is that right?
The weather, every day the weather was in, yeah.
I used to keep the weather when I was in the shop down there. Yeah. Here, but,
every day too?
Yeah. Of course, I got into this. I worked with a fellow by the name of Bill Braun, who's in Pewaukee. Maybe you've heard him. He and Bill Carlson used to be big friends, see? And I think he's still alive down there. But anyway, he was working there, and every 4 hours he went out and looked at the weather, wind, and so forth, and he charted. He had a chart. He had a real fine pen made for that, and he'd chart that. And his charts were better than the weather bureaus.
See, what happened to that good thermometer in the bank they bought?
It's in the Zuna house, in the kitchen.
Is it? Was it still working?
Oh, sure, it's still working. That's a home working tomorrow.
How much did that cost that time?
I don't know. I had that last time.
They collected money for that.
$15 or something.
They collected that. We had that last time we talked about it here, and we bought that thermometer in the bank.
Dad made up a collection. You know, everybody would say, well, it was so cold. And he wrote the Weather Bureau, and they said, well, buy it from this outfit and so forth.
Chris Schmaltz, he came and got milk every day, and he'd always tell, he was always cooler than everyone else.
Yeah, I suppose.
There was a lot of people that walked up there every morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He would look, I mean, how cool they
are. Well, I used to mount that, I mounted that up there. And
see, back here, and I started that time, I got this all recorded now, I guess.
See, how did they do it? 2 years ago, to collect what time it was, how did they do that?
See what time it was?
Exactly.
Well, they had radio then already.
Before radio.
They went to the depot.
The depot. My dad said he used to go over to the depot, and at 11 o'clock, which is Eastern, noon at Eastern time, then they plug in on a Western Union wire or whatever it was, and then time would come over, tick, 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 you know, from the observatory in Washington. And right at noon, there'd be a pause, and then beep. That was high noon, Eastern time, 11 o'clock. He used to take his watch over there and set it on that scene. Yeah.
Well, at that time, the church bells used to ring off and ring it, too. I mean, I don't know where they got the time from. But
well, it's kind of probably like the old story, you know, where the guy walks down the street, and there's a guy's got a big clock in the jeweler's window, and they said, well, how do you know what time, how to set this clock? And he says, well, they've got a fort out here, and they fire the cannon at noon every day, see? So then he went out there and asked the guy who fired the cannon. He says, well, I go down to the jeweler's, he's got a clock on the window.
Oh, yeah.
How accurate was that clock in the bank?
Oh, that one.
Oh, that thing, they were going, what makes it go? Didn't say, what makes it go? Didn't say,
well, I'll tell you what makes it go. I got it laying in the basement at home. There was a watch mechanism in the one end of the hand, and it had a little a compass hanging down. See? And it was so finely balanced that as his watch mechanism turned his compass, it would turn the hands. But the watch quit, so I was always going to get it fixed. I was going to put a quartz watch in there, but my eyes have given out, and I can't do it anymore. I got the hands. I should donate it to the Historical Society, too. But anyway, my wife was knocking down cobwebs the other day. She said, cobwebs. I said, cut that out.
Yeah,
it's been many days.
You know, I get the Hartford paper there, the lady next door, she always gets the Hartford paper. And once a week, it comes and she gives it. He's in this week in Hartford paper. It's a obituary in from Otto Frings. Mm. Otto Frings, he used to live out here where Leo Baden lives now.
Oh, I didn't know.
And he married a Schuster. And that Schuster was, he related to Miss Barbara Steger here somewhere or other. I mean, through the somewhere or other. See, Barbara Steger was Frank Schuster's sister. No, sister, wasn't it?
Well, Otto Frings and Polly Cole's mother were brother and sister. She was a friend.
Oh, yeah. I just happened to see the obituary, and he said he was born in Thresa in 1902, I guess, something like that. He's over 90 years old.
Yeah, he lived in Houston's part.
He did live in Houston.
He lost a farm out here, went to Houston's farm, bought a farm, and he did real good.
Yeah.
He was retired in town.
I saw the name, I thought, yeah, that sounds familiar.
Sure.
Otto Frings.
Nick Cole's wife and Otto Frings were brother and sister.
They were, yeah.
And back in the 40s or 30s, he lost that farm out there, and then Ed Baden bought it.
Yeah.
Would you like another drink, you guys?
No, thanks, Joe. That's fine. We're going to, you want to get down to that thing anyway.
Well,
we're about through the tape, so.
I have to be, it's only 7:30.
Yeah, I hope he sold it to someone. I mean, that do something with it. I mean,
not just.
Because he kept it in good shape. I mean,
yeah, it was always in good shape, and it was nice.
The roof he put out and everything. I mean.
Is there a new roof on it?
Yeah, a year, a couple of years ago, over the last 3 years.
Well, I don't know, maybe later, but I mean, remember they had that storm there and they had to tear part of it off back there when that tornado hit there. I don't know where your tapes, I think those are mine, unless I.
Your box is here?
I had 260s. And
yeah, here. Yeah, this is mine. Yeah. This is mine.
I had this Memorex and I got one in each machine, so. 60s or something else. anyway. Yeah, well, we even got tape left, so.
No, that, you know, it's that other book that I got, I showed you earlier that I got, where I get all my information on that I keep on me, like from all the mail news, all the years back. See, I've been doing that for over 40 years now, and I don't find nothing new that I don't repeat from years back, see.
That's right.
Sometimes it's still in there, I mean, but I already have it in the book, see. Now, that's something there, too. We should either make a copy of that book or something there, or do something with that, because, you know, there's lots of information, well, lots of history in that book.
Now, listen, Les. Peggy has called a meeting for November 1.
Yeah.
I won't be here, see. But why don't you bring it up there? We have a little money. There's no reason they can't authorize some photocopies.
Well, I authorized, if someone had a good copying machine, I tried some copies already that people asked something about, like when Norma Rogers wrote once about the store down there, all these robberies they had down there. That's all in that book, see. And I took that out and I made her a copy and I sent her that, see. And the copy is real good out of that book. I mean,
I don't.
And it would cost whatever it cost to.
Make a deal with somebody. Yeah, now, like the Mabel News has a. I thought I saw an ad that they would have copies for 5 cents a piece, no limit. Originally, you had to make 20 of each, see?
Yeah.
But now I think they've changed that thing. So it might not hurt to ask over there, or ask Peggy can get into this. Yeah. Now, Greg's copy machine hasn't been working too well the last time I was over there. And I don't know. I haven't had. I really had almost the best luck in Ben Franklin over there.
Yeah.
But.
I often get a lot of capital copies made down the bank there now. And, they may have a good machine over there. So.
I haven't. I've had some made there, but just one or two of my own stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, you ought to get, you can take those pages out, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's no problem. You can almost copy two on a sheet then, huh? If you run it legal size.
Huh?
If you run it legal size.
You run it this size, you are almost good at this. Single sheet, what is it, 8 by?
I have seen the book.
6 by, you know, 5 by 8, is it?
Yeah, it's a loose leaf book, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a loose leaf 5 by book, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, like that book there, I mean, I gave it to people ready to look, they want to look through it, you know, I'm getting it back.
I wouldn't do that. I gave it to one person. I don't give that stuff out.
It didn't come back, and he said, where is it? And he said, oh, let's see, myself. He was over here, and he looked at it, and he liked it, so he took it along, see. I went to 3 different people. I got it back. I mean, but that way,
you lose it.
Zimmer's book there. That's the way it gets lost. I mean,
I tell you, they don't appreciate that stuff. So, the thing is, when you have this meeting, you talk to Peggy about it.
And
she can check around once and see where she can get a.
Yeah.
Now, if Greg's machine is working good, I'm sure she wouldn't mind running it there. But otherwise. I've had pretty good luck at Ben Franklin, and Russ likes Master Print over at Mabel.
Yeah.
That's up there across from
the little pig store there.
No, it's across from the. Master Print is. That's Service Print up there. But anyway, Master Print is down on Main Street there, up near where the old. Across from where Napa Service is.
Yeah.
So maybe you'd better off there. But anyway. And those machines always change too, you know. They run a lot of copies, they might not be the same. So, well, our tapes are pretty well run through, so we let them run out.
I'll show you a letter if I can find it.
Okay.
Frank Shreen wrote 1900 from the cheese factory here.
The heck?
Real nice written, what you call it, from Mabel. What's her name? Evelyn Bake.
Yeah.
She found it over in Juneau in a courthouse.
Are those all pictures, or are those in book?
Huh?
Are those all books, those pictures down there?
No, that's just Jimmy's got all the books.
Okay. Are yours all separate?
No, mine are just a Swiss company.
Huh?
From Switzerland.
Oh, yours are all darn enough to figure out what's in there. Huh?
There's none of Jimmy's books over here.
Jimmy has got all the books.
Yeah, I know he's got all the books, because he should make me some copies of some of the stories I want to write. I know there's a lot of pictures down there, and I never got those pictures. I mean,
mm-hmm.
see, when Jim and I went together there, first he made, that was before Jim belonged to the Historical Society, he kept one copy and he gave one copy to me. That's okay, Ralph, leave it go.
Don't bother.
Don't bother, Ralph.
Here's the picture of us in 1917.
Yeah.
Johnny and me.
Yeah.
1917.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I think that was taken on here. No, 17, no, that was good. Johnny and Ralph. See, Johnny was born in 1914. 17, so 3 years old. Ralph was real small. But they weren't living in Tres in the end. You know, I was telling Anninger, pictures when the carpet is all rags.
Yeah. Oh, I could kick myself a million times because I help bust those negatives up there, those plates.
Johnny Wooden and myself.
Yeah, you guys were on
great. And then we found the one where the Wooden family was on.
Jim's got it.
Yeah, Jim's got it, We found that one. We look and then we smash them.
You could tell who they were, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he put a little blue ink on the faces to get them to print lighter.
Yeah.
And,
those
were the days. Oh, there goes yours. Mine will be going almost any second.
I'm thinking about his old friend down here, he was very accommodating. I mean, like, I was just a kid peddling papers that time. I was 12 years old, and I'd come out, I'd see him outside, you know, and I'd pester him about Indians and stuff like that.
Yeah.
See, and he would sit down there, and
he'd tell
just
stories,
tell stories about how he went up in the marsh and all that. Everything was that he would tell story after story. And, he was very, that way,
it's a shame.
Claus and Erhard Cheeseburger from Chicago with their branch in Thresher, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Now, I got one like this at home, too, Fred. It's just like this. Did you give me one?
I'd probably give you one.
Or Evelyn Bakemake one sent me one, huh?
Maybe she did.
Maybe she did. Cause
beautiful handwriting.
I got that same letter, yeah.
And you have him, too.
Frank Schubert.
I just got the top there, but it's not like this one.
He was the first cheesemaker in the Thresa plant. Klauser and Erhard sent him up to Thresa. Then he went from Thresa to Pontiac to run the cheese warehouse, and the first thing he owned it. First thing he owned a branch in Plymouth, and first thing you know he was a millionaire.
Mm.
He died in 1924 as a millionaire. So
it's tough, ain't it?
His daughter was the last one living, and here 10 years ago she gave $1 million to Bethesda to build a church in the at Bethesda. It's called the Shuyan Memorial Chapel.
Yeah, branch in Thresa, Dodge County, huh?
See, what they did is, the building, the middle part of the cheese factory was standing where Pa's house is up here, and it was owned by Hocker. Where they made
furniture.
Coffins and furniture.
Furniture, yeah.
They moved that down there, and Jimmy's got a picture of that from the Stoys. Just that middle building.
Yeah, just alone.
Then they built on the cheese factory, and then they built on the cellar, the other one. And when they put the first building,